This song is one of Janet Paschal's songs. It's called The Body and the Blood. Fifty years ago today, she gave her only child away to live a life easy to regret. Years went by, how time has flown. Her days are mostly spent alone, daring to remember, hoping to forget. This is my body, broken for you, for all you've been and all you've been through. This is my blood, and when you've reached the end, I offer you again the body and blood. He fought a war against his will. Truth be known, he's fighting still. He looks for hope through narrow bloodshot eyes. He slips into a polished pew, lingers for an hour or two. Sometime it feels better to sit and cry a while. This is my body, broken for you, for all you've been and all you've been through. This is my blood, and when you've reached the end, I offer you again the body and blood. One by one, we take the common cup. We remember and we lift it up. This is my body, broken for you, for all you've been and all you've been through. This is my blood, and when you've reached the end, I offer you again the body and blood. This is my blood, and when you've reached the end, I offer you again the body and
what we're here today to celebrate is communion service for what happened. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22 as we start today. Luke 22. Jesus is gathered with his disciples at this time. It's the Passover. And that's the day that Israel, you know, all the Passovers that were celebrated this time, up until this time, was just a picture of what was to take place this day. And so Jesus comes to them and he's seated with his disciples. And of course, we all know the story in verse 15. He said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Verse 16, "But for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." So Jesus, you know, and he goes on, he says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Jesus is about to go. And you know, it's interesting as we look at this. He says, "I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." He is the Passover lamb. Before this day is done, he's going to hang on the cross. He is the Lamb of God. And you know, we wonder. He says, in verse 18, "I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." He's not going to partake. He knows that. You know, and we look at the fruit of the vine and we wonder what all that entitles. And you know, what is the fruit of the vine? And I think it can be summed up in one word. Love. It's the fruit that God wants to bring forth in our lives and in everyone's life. Why couldn't Jesus partake of it this day? Because he was not going to feel that love in this day. He was about to be made the sin. He was about to be made judgment. He was going to suffer judgment. He was going to endure the cross. And for him to partake, he couldn't. But notice, until the kingdom of God shall come, he's going to bring in God's kingdom when he comes out of that grave tomb and that grave. When he is on the cross, he's bringing the kingdom down to us, to man. And you know where the kingdom of God is? It's not in some geographical location. It's in the heart. Yes. The kingdom of God is in our heart. This is where God wants to establish his kingdom. It's in each of our hearts, in that new heart that changes. He comes on and he says in verse 19, "He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you." His body was to be sacrificed on the cross. And you know, we remember that book, that movie called The Passion of Christ. And that's what we see here. His body is going to be sacrificed. That's what the Passion of Christ is all about. Passion. And you know, that's where love, just Christ, what nailed Christ to that cross was love. He went there because he loved us so much. So he was sacrificed in love. It's the passion, that passion of Christ. And how is our response to be to this as we celebrate this service today? This do in remembrance of me. That's what we're here to do. Remember his sacrifice, his passion there on the cross, that love come and down to human people, down to us. What a blessing it is to celebrate this time, this communion. Remember, it's called the Lord's Supper because, or the Last Supper. But it is the Lord's Supper, and this is what we see. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, and Paul expounds more on this communion service, and I'm probably not going to say anything new that we've not heard before. But again, this is a remembrance feast. It's a forget-me-not feast that we celebrate, that we remember his sacrifice, his death on the cross, his passion, his love, and all that entitles that. Now, Paul goes on, and the Corinthians are rather interesting. Before we really get into this, the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians is a book of correction. And the Corinthians is really a picture of Christendom today. It really is, because there's need of correction in how they celebrate communion. And there was a Corinth at this time. And Paul comes on in verse 18, in verse 18, he says, that first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. And then he goes on in verse 20. I'm going to skip some verses because of time. But in verse 20, he says, when you come together, therefore, into one place. Now, he's talking about communion service at Corinth, the way they were partaking of this remembrance feast, this forget-me-not feast. And he says, when you come together, he's talking about in communion, into one place. This is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, this is really not a good translation in this verse, because what Paul is telling the Corinthians, this is not the supper instituted by the Lord that you are observing, that you're keeping, because they were not keeping it in the right purpose that God instituted, that the Lord instituted this supper. And he says in verse 21, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, another is drunken. And we can just see the need. You see, communion service fulfills a need in the human heart. It really does. And we don't want anyone to go leave this service not being satisfied, not being full. We want everyone to receive that fullness of love that Jesus brought on the cross. This is why we remember him. He goes on. So he's going on. He said, so not one is hungry. He's famished. And this is how it was at Corinth at this time. And sometimes it's that way in the Christendom today. It is to a large degree. But another is drunken. He's intoxicated. He's intoxicated with religion and just the wrong attitude. Now let's go on. So Paul begins to give correction here in verse 23. Paul says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. So Paul received, this is the Lord directly give this to the apostle Paul, our apostle. He gives the fullness, the purpose, the whole reason for it. We celebrate communion. But he noticed he received it from the Lord. He didn't get it from some other apostles. He didn't go and check it out with Peter and all the others. He could have. But this is something the Lord gave Paul to us. And he says, here's what he said, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Again, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, the New Covenant, we might say, in my blood. It was ratified by the shed blood of Christ. He established a covenant that we have. And this is, notice, he says, this cup, the cup which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, in my blood. Again, this do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Which are read, never forget why we have love, why we have fellowship. And one thing the communion service was given was to unite the body of Christ, to make it one, to establish it, to make it so that others could feast and love. You know, if we think of divine love, and that's what we're talking about today. In John chapter, in the Gospel of John in chapter 13, and in verse 34 and 35, Jesus told his disciples, he says, a new commandment I give unto you. A new commandment. It was only new as to freshness. It's been around. God always wanted this to be happening on his people. And that new commandment is that you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another in the same manner, with the same intensity, the same passion that he delivered there on the cross. That intense love. He says that we are to have that same love one to another. Now, that's not impossible. Now, you know, years ago, I was a sinner. Of course, it's been about 50 years ago, 49. But I've been a Christian 49 years. But the Lord, a little old woman, she says, are you a Christian? And you know, I wasn't. But I was born in the United States, you know, and I read the Bible through, and I said, well, not a very good one. And you know what she did? She just held out her arms and loved me. You know, that old woman had every reason to get out of my sight. She really did. But she, you know what she did? She provoked me. She really provoked me. Because, you know, I looked at her and I knew she had something that I knew nothing about. Love. So we're to have that intense love. We're to remember him. Go on. Jesus says, did I read verse 25? And after the same manner also he took the cup and said, saying, this is the cup in the New Testament in my blood. Yes, I did read it. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. How does God manifest his death, his passion there on the cross? That's what I want to say. How does he manifest that love in our communion service? And you know, and we could celebrate communion every day of our life if we want to. We should remember, I think, his death on the cross constantly, because that's the intensity of it. But notice, for as oft as you drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup. You know, eating it. What does it mean when we eat this bread and drink this cup? It just simply means we believe it. You know, what we eat becomes a part of us. And what we believe becomes a part of us too. When we accept Christ, it's called faith. And when we let Jesus be Lord, when we come to him, it becomes a part of us. Love become a part of me and you as we accept him. We eat it. It's our nourishment. He's the bread of life. He is not only the life giver, but he's the life sustainer.
Amen.
And we do that. How long are we going to celebrate communion? Until he comes. Until we see him face to face. Why? And what are we doing in that? You know that word, show forth his death till he come. Ye do show the Lord's death. That, I like this one word, and I don't know if I can pronounce it. It's promulgate. Promulgate. It means, and I got it ahead of my notes. But anyway, that's all right. Let's see where I got it written down here. Well, it just means to make widely known. That's how, you know, how do we make widely known his death till he come? Jesus says in John, again, 13:35, he says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? By miracles and healings and changing and miracles and no, he says, that you love one another. that you love one another. That's how we can realize and recognize. That's how we make known his sacrifice, his passion. We make known Jesus' passion. While we were yet unlovely, he loved us. And he went to the cross. He made a way. And he did that. And so he said, so we show forth the Lord's death till he come. We announce, we proclaim. You know, Satan can really, there's a lot of imitations in religions today. There's imitations of miracles even. There's going to be a big miracle take place, we know, and during the tribulation period. He can imitate a lot of things. He can imitate sacrifice. People sacrifice all the time. They give their bodies to be burned. They do a lot of sacrifices. They do a lot of good, you know, works and things like that. But you know, there's one thing Satan cannot imitate, and that's love. His love is just foreign to him because he hates. And hate is the absence of any love at all. And so you see, this is how we can show forth the Lord's death till he come, is by love. And that's what the communion service is all about. Now Paul, again, is showing here that there's some, here at Corinth they had some problems. And he says in verse 27, wherefore, he's talking about, we're showing forth the Lord's death till he come in communion. He says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. What a message. You know, this kind of strikes a little fear into my heart sometimes in the past. I started, oh my, I got to look at myself and my, what have I been doing? You know, and oh yeah, I remember back over, oh, Satan comes back and says, oh, you remember over here when you run your mouth off? Oh, he don't forget anything. He don't let us forget it. And we can begin to think, but that's not what Paul's talking about. If we go to Strong's Concordance, and that's what we should do. Strong's Concordance translate this word unworthily as irreverently. And that's right, because it's an adverb. It's not a noun. It's an adverb. You see, what was wrong with Corinth was their manner in participating of the Lord's Supper and communicating. Because, and we can see that because Paul says, when you celebrate the communion, I'm paraphrasing this, one is hungry, one is drunken. That's not the right way to celebrate communion. It's not the way to have the Lord's Supper. And Paul's saying that. Well, he's saying that whosoever eat this bread, and I don't want to say that, and drink the cup of the Lord irreverently shall be guilty. What's he talking about? Guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. In other words, whosoever. And you know, have I ever done that? I probably have it sometime through just lack of knowledge, maybe. But that's not a place of despair, but it's a place, there's a way that we can check this out and come back and see you in the right way. See, but notice, guilty, or that word guilty just means liable of the body and blood of the Lord. You see, God, this communion service is the blood is given to us for the blood and the body and the blood of the Lord. It was sacrificed. The whole purpose of that was to unite us into one body, to make us more one, that the world would know that we are his disciples, to promulgate, to give, make widely known this gospel. And if we're guilty, if we celebrate that in a wrong attitude, we're guilty, we're liable, we're responsible, in other words, for taking communion and defeating it from its purpose, from hindering it even. We can do that. And so, you know, and so that's, see, he says, but notice, here's what we do, and this is something I think we all should do in verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat that bread and drink that cup. You know, all of us need to examine ourselves, and that's what I would like to speak on a little more this morning. We need sometimes to just take back, and now, this is an examination. It's a test. We need to test ourselves. We don't test our brother. we're not examining our brother or anyone else partaking. We're to do that ourselves. I'm responsible to test myself. But this test is not to show me disapproved. This test is to show us that we are approved. That's what I want to see. We examine ourselves. And you know, we have a scripture that pretty well does this, I think. You see, there's one thing that we want to realize. How we relate to our brethren really reflects on our reverence to the Lord's sacrifice. It really does. Well, how we relate to one another in love really has a reflex on our reverence to the Lord's sacrifice. So let's go over it. We're going to come back here later and before I go home, or before we finish this sermon, I mean. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and just see how sometimes we can examine ourselves. You know, if we're going to examine ourselves, we got to have a standard. We got to have something to do it. You just can't go say, hey, Brother Norman, tell me how I can examine myself. I can't tell you. But we can go to God's Word. And that's what we want to do tonight, today. Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He writes in verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us. Why? Because we thus judge. What? That if one died for all, then we're all dead. What a sentence. Jesus died for all. What does it mean? It means that we were all beginners at the same place, dead in trespasses and sins. Not a one of us was more worthy than the other. And I'll say this today, as believers partaking of this bread and this cup, none of us is more worthy than the other. We're all worthy because He loved us and shed His blood. His life was poured out. His blood was poured out. His body was broken. Why? For us. And what really motivated Jesus to do that? One word. He loved us. He loved us when we were yet sinners, dead. We were dead. Now, a dead man can do nothing for himself. And He brought life. He was the bread of life, the staff of life. You see, this oneness doesn't happen just automatically because we're born again. The potential there, in John 1:14, I think, in the Gospel, it says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. The potential, when we accept Christ into our heart, the potential is there to become maturity, to come to mature sons of God. Every one of us began at the same place. We were no worthy. You know, where did I begin? At the foot of the cross, needing a Savior. And we have to make, notice, for the love of Christ, that very love that nailed Him to the cross, is now working in His people. It's in your heart and mine. It really is, as we eat and drink today. Now that drinking this cup and drinking and eating this bread is no miracle, miraculous power in and of itself. But what it symbolizes has awesome power because it's by faith. So the love of Christ constraineth us. What is that word constraint? When you look at that word constraint, what do you think of? What do you think of?
Held back.
Held back. Anyone else? Just tell me. Huh?
Compelled.
Anyone else? Huh?
To bind.
You know, in Strong's Concordance, it says what it means, and I love what it says. I really love it. It says here, and I got to find my notes. It means to hold together. That's Strong's. God doesn't compel us. Love doesn't compel us. Love doesn't bind us. It sets us free.
but it holds us together. It makes us one. This is what the communion service is all about, unity in the body of Christ, making us one body. And it don't happen without coming and making this judgment. We make that judgment. That word judgment means we make a decision. We distinguish, we decide. It can be mentally or judicially when we see it in the Bible. And we make a decision. You see, love, divine love is not, it involves our emotions, but it's not goosebumps like love. You know, love, divine love is a matter of our will. God loved us when we were unlovely. Divine love reaches, and we have that same divine love. We reach out to those that are unlovely. We are. Because it's a decision. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you, brothers and sisters. And I made that decision. Now, there's lots of joy and everything else that comes with that. But God loved us when we, there was nothing that, and so we see that we have to make that judgment. And this judgment is this: if one died for all, then we're all dead. We all begin at the same place, dead in trespasses and sins. We can't, I ain't got nothing up on you, and you don't have nothing up on me. You did, none of us had a, what they call a leg up on us, you know, ready to run the race a little quicker and get ahead of us. No. We all begin, and we have to realize that. When we want to show forth his death till he come. Next one, he goes on. And there's a big change. When that love becomes, there's a big change. Notice, and that he died for all. Here he did. He died for everyone. The whole world. Everyone that's been born since Adam to the last baby that's born on this earth. His death atoned for everyone. And why did he die for all? That they which live should not henceforth, from this day on, live unto themselves. He changes everything. It ain't me first. It ain't my way. It ain't my way or the highway. Your way is more important to me than mine. You know, I'm not. That's not my purpose, is not to satisfy old self. That changes our heart. This is how that, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. This should be, when we examine ourselves, this is what God wants us to come up with. That henceforth, I should not live unto myself, but unto him, but unto Jesus, which died for them and rose again. He is all that we live for from now on. He is our life. And then he goes on and he even takes it a little more farther than that. See, this is a judgment we Christians have to make. He says in verse 16, he takes it, wherefore, henceforth, from now on out, know we no man after the flesh. Amen. How can that be? Well, because Jesus died for everyone, did he not? And everyone we see is a potential to experience and enjoy this love in their heart. And that should be our divine will. It don't matter if it's a most wicked person, we don't disintegrate. It's for everyone that henceforth we know no man. And notice he says, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. There's even a change in our relationship with the Lord. That henceforth, he says, that yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. You know, there's a change in our relationship with the Lord at this time. It really is. Oh, we've known him. He was a man. He overcome as a man. He was, and we can read that. But you know, our relationship now, he's the resurrected Christ. He's been to the cross. He's our high priest. He's the head of the church. That means he's directing us, the body of Christ. He's there. And he's our relationship. We're in submission to him, the resurrected Christ. And notice here,
So he's there. We have a new relationship. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. What a blessing. Old things, all that old dead flesh is now gone. That's part of our judging. It really is. That's part of we thus judge. That if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature in Christ. Begin new, a new slate. And that's true. All things have become new. And notice verse 18. And all things are of God, who's reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Yes, that love is to go on out. And I could go on, but time is running out. I'm going to close that portion off, but I'd like to go back, and there's one other thing that we need to do as we think of this, as we would examine ourselves in the Corinthians. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 11. And, you know, let's read verse 33. He says, Paul says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. I wondered about that verse. Why would you want us to wait one for another? And, you know, in our relationship one to another, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of Christians that waited for old Norm to come around. You know what I mean? If we're going to give our life to the Lord, there's times that we need to await. Just carry on one another. Don't expect everything overnight. Don't expect anything. You know, just wait one for another. And that's what. And I think of the Corinthians, when they were celebrating communion, they probably said, oh, they're going to be late. They're not going to get here. Let's just go on. I don't know that. Maybe they had that attitude. You're not me first. I don't care what the other my brothers are doing. But let's wait one for another. Wait one for another. And you know, because in the body, there's all, some of, there's babes in Christ, there's newborn babes, there's some have been in the Christian church a long time and still babes, and some are not. We've got all degrees of growth. But that means that we love each one the same. And love waits. Anyway, that's about all I've got to say this morning and on this communion service. It is a wonderful time. I really like the Lord. I appreciate the seeing that. It just thrills my heart that we can remember his death, because it's so important. Because that love of God is shed abroad. That same love that took Jesus to the cross is in you and I, in my heart, as we believe. As we yield to it and make some judgments. Yes, we got to make some.